Oh, yeah, boy.
We're back, baby.
We're back.
What is it, April 18th?
Yeah.
18th.
2025. And this is episode 426.
So, yeah, I mean, like, you'll probably be hearing this, I don't know. No, you can't even.
By the way, we're episode 526, not 426.
We got to do the whole thing over.
So, it's all right. Since April 26th, you'll probably be hearing this, what, October?
I've made a New Year's resolution to not suck so bad. So we'll see. I got it back in the saddle. I just did two of them. So.
You know, I just realized we missed April Fool's Day.
We weren't even around. It was posted on April Fool's Day. It kind of made the joke.
April Fool's.
Yeah.
It's not episode 426. It's episode 526.
I posted one of the old April Fool's shows on the Discord.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry. I haven't been on there lately. Too many apps, too many things to do.
They're talking about ass pennies on the Discord, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, I missed it. Oh, I got to go back and read everything.
What a great
story. Oh, I love ass pennies. Oh, boy, do I have an ass penny story, but I'm going to keep it to myself.
Okay.
All right. Our first beer of the evening is from Greg.
It's not from me. It's from Hoffman. I just happened to bring
it. It's from you. It wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. You are the sole reason this beer is here tonight.
Mm.
You deserve all the credit. This is the Elegans Kolsch from Hop Farm Brewing Company.
4.8%, basically very classic Kolsch. That's the idea anyway. Hop Farm is the brewery around here who has the best yeast, that as far as I'm concerned.
I have some floating on the top. What? Something floating on the top of mine. You see it?
I just
see the foam. I don't see it.
No.
I don't see it.
Look up.
Oh, you got a little chunk of something, yeah.
It's a chunky monkey. Or maybe it's starting to split now, so I think.
Just a foam shadow.
Yeah, that is so weird,
a shadow.
And I'm not even on drugs
or anything.
Everyone's
going to think we're like super high.
No, yeah. No, not at all. Haven't even.
All right. So this Kolsch, the color of it is golden. It's not as clear as a traditional Kolsch. It has a fair amount of haze through it.
Mm-hmm.
The head, I mean, pouring it into our beer snifters in three ways isn't, you know, they're normally poured into stonges, which are not tall and narrow, which help elevate the head and keep a nice big pillowy head on it.
Yeah.
So these glasses aren't ideal for the head retention.
We probably could have found some.
It's a very bready smell. Yeah, but, you know, then you have to more clean up.
I know. It's...
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Just was at Passover dinner. There's a very matzah-like smell.
Yes, you're right. Very.
Think crackers. Think mm-hmm. unleavened bread crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a light malt smell. The hops are very subdued in the aroma.
Mm.
All right.
It's pretty light. There's not really much for me to pull on the aroma.
No. Taste.
That we just had before the show, last word substitute. We used, what was that, Luxardo's?
Del Santo
as in instead of green chartreuse, because no one can get green chartreuse anymore. And it's pretty good. I think it was a good cocktail, but it also was, I mean, you know, it's got lots of lime juice. It's got maraschino. So I think that my tummy is just sort of, this is almost very, very different from what I've been tasting. So I'm just trying to get a grasp of it.
Would you like some crackers?
I feel like this is liquid crackers, so it wouldn't really do much difference.
Moving on to the flavor, it, you know, it has that big malty flavor, clean malt flavor, right? It's not too estery. There's some bitterness there, so the hops are carrying through in the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Very noble hop-wise, very, you know, just, you know, that sort of Zotz-like kind of.
The bitterness does linger. Like, I would think, when I think of a prototypical Kolsch, it's a very clean finish, right? After you drink it, you're not left with a bitterness. This one kind of leaves a bitterness.
Interesting. I'm not getting that so much. I am getting more of a malt lingering, though. It's not finishing up as clean and crisp as it would have otherwise. But again, I think that might be just the way my tongue was.
No, I'm getting the malt lingering too, actually. it's not unappealing. It doesn't make me go, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfectly drinkable, but it's not like as crisp as it could be. It's not as, you know.
I like this. It's a nice light beer.
Yeah.
I think refreshing. This beer, as is, if you were just drinking it, not critically reviewing it, just something you just.
Very, very easy drinker. Yeah.
You know, now on the show where we're comparing it to what we really, really want a Kolsch to be when it's at its best.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now we're saying things. But no, this beer is fine. This beer.
You know, I mean, you can say that for a lot of beers that we've occasionally, you know, crapped on or at least said poor things about. This beer is perfectly acceptable. In fact, I would say I would go far to say it's good. I would drink more of this. It has that, like I said, the hop farm thing that I love is that yeast that sort of underneath that like 20% of the foundation that's there. That to me is very, very solid. And I don't know, I think for whatever reason, I really enjoy it. So that helps anchor this, and everything else is like, I don't so much taste off flavors, just sort of excesses.
Right.
I don't think it's got much complexity to it.
I mean, it's a Kolsch, right? I mean,
yeah.
I would not expect a complex Kolsch. That would be weird.
Yeah.
Yep. Clean and beer flavor.
Yeah.
Kind of what you're going.
Really good summer drink.
Very much so. Yeah. And we're starting to hit, you know, we're finally out of the 30s and 40s.
Until tomorrow. I don't know. But yesterday it was like 30 and now it's 80.
Yeah. I think, or at least according to Carrot, which is the app that you all should get for weather.
It was 81 degrees here today.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sunny.
And the lowest we're going to get for the next 2 weeks is like tonight at 44.
Time to take the stuff off the windows so we can open up the house.
And we're creeping into the 50s and later on 2 weeks into the 60s. So we're finally in April, mid-April, out of the 30s.
Yeah, it was. So Shannon and I were on a long trip.
Mm-hmm.
We left here on February 21st, 22nd, something like that. There was snow on the ground.
It was snowing.
The camper cover was frozen snowing. To the camper. I had to pour hot water on it to get it off. And then we went to Atlanta for Workbench Con, and we took our time getting down there. We spent probably 4 or 5 days to get down there.
Yeah, we spent 5 days.
And then we went to visit her family in Florida.
We spent like 3 days on the road before we got down there too, right?
Yeah, we just took our time all over. We were gone for
5 weeks and 1 day. We were 3 days shy of 40 days and 40 nights, which I was really wanting to do the 40 days and 40 nights simply so we could say
you did it. Yeah,
40. But
actually 2 days shy because we did cancel the last night.
Which made it 3 days shy. Because we would have been 2 days shy, but we canceled.
So you just said 1 day shy.
No, I said 3 days shy. But anyways, so.
Close enough.
Yeah, we were close. Couldn't take it anymore, though. By the time we got to the last stop.
Get me home. Give me my bed.
I was like, we're only 63 miles from home. I just want to get home and start unpacking. So, yeah.
Well, I messaged you, I think, halfway through. I was like, you guys are going to be, I'm missing you. I was like, hey, how's this? And you're like, no, we're not until
April.
April. I was like, damn. That was like middle of February.
Yep.
Or March, like in March, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
It was probably when the thing happened at work. I wanted to be like, hey, let's.
So we thought we were gone long enough that we'd come back to spring. And it seemed like it for a little bit, but then it got cold again.
And it snowed.
The weather's weird. This is a weird one.
We're on to the next beer. Hurry up.
Do you want
to? We are? Yeah. I didn't drink it that fast.
No, I'm trying to smell this before you have a taste. This is from Burial Brewing. This is the Garden of Earthly Delights. Oh, you already tasted it?
Bucket's right there. No, she still has the last beer.
Yeah, you're wearing a burial shirt.
I am wearing
the dump bucket's right there behind you if you want it.
I don't really want to dump it.
Don't. Oh, you're drinking it right away. Don't you want to hear what it is?
Yeah.
Which one are we doing?
The Garden of Earthly Delights.
Garden of Earthly Delights. This is a barrel-aged golden sour with carrot, coconut, curry spices, and vanilla bean. Wow.
Yeah, they do crazy shit at burial.
the melange that Rachel Morris, who is the blender, the head blender, they call her, selected was carrot, flaked coconut, Madras curry powder, Madagascar vanilla bean. And I guess this is with a sour that it begins as a clean blonde ale fermented with house mixed culture, aged in oak barrels for over a year. So they have their own like souring program.
Mm-hmm.
That's a,
I think it's curry is like the weird thing on the nose, right?
The curry is the curveball.
Yeah, I'm almost like what I'm smelling, if I didn't know what was in there, mm-hmm. I would say like lime peel or lime zest or something like that. Or
I think that's a good call. I don't think you'd be able to pick curry out of something. That's why it's a total curveball, but you can see where it's causing.
I would think that's weird lime, like maybe it's black lime, you know, like, you know, I would try to be fishing around. Oh, that'd be
a good one. Yeah. Or preserved lemon.
Mm-hmm. The kind of funk in there is probably a lactic funk, and it is coming across a little, I don't want to say this because Shannon's probably not going to want to drink it, but it's a little curdled cheesy thing in like the nose.
No, see, I'm thinking jam.
A very yogurty thing going on there. There's clearly a lactic thing, but there's also some citric acid in there. So like combination of things going on there.
Okay.
It tastes like God, that lime's carrying through. Now I'm thinking like this is like a key lime pie.
Key lime pie is absolutely.
I'm saying it's
screaming it.
In my head, the lime vibe is carrying through. Now it tastes like a key lime pie. Like I'm tasting like the graham cracker crust. Okay. I'm tasting the whipped cream. Like that's where this is taking me, even though that's not this beer.
I tell you the really smart thing here. The thing that I'm tasting all the way through and the thing that kind of balances it is the vanilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that kind of it's steady and it just gives sort of a lifeline for all the ingredients to sort of attach to.
Yeah, can you pick out carrot at all?
Not one bit, not even a little.
Only in the sense of it, you know, it probably added some sugar.
You know what? Maybe see, I'm not getting carrot. What I'm getting, if I look for carrot, is the Indian dessert that's shredded carrots with cardamom.
Right, yeah. But I think that's more the curry that you're tasting.
But what I'm getting from that is more closely related to cardamom than the carrots, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, cooked carrot doesn't taste like a raw carrot anyway. In general, carrots are used mostly for their sugar more than anything else. Yeah. So I figured that it added some sweetness and maybe a vegetal note. But yeah, I wouldn't be able to pick out carrot at all.
Coconut's pretty subdued too.
I think it's there if you really, really look for it, but I think I also could just be making that up.
I really think that you called it right from the very beginning, and that's key lime pie. I mean, that's what it tastes like to me,
but that's not what's in the ingredients.
I know, but that's what I taste. It's screaming key lime pie that has a really delicious cream.
Yeah, it reminds
topping.
Me of
like very, very.
We had a key lime beer from Woven Water.
Mm.
And it reminds me of that.
This was better, I think.
If you didn't know it was curry, you might think like a lot of nutmeg, mm-hmm. because there's sort of warming quality mm-hmm. to it. But like, I think that the curry is a really interesting dimension that is not going to be on your typical key lime pie, but it makes me want to think, well, let's get some really fresh curry powder and put it onto a key lime pie and see what that tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
Because it works. It's a combination of flavors.
And curry is just a blend of spices, right? It's like turmeric and cardamom and probably some other stuff.
Cinnamon, coriander, cumin.
That makes sense then, because it does have, even though it really, to me, just screams key lime pie, it does have something subtle in it that just tastes like a mixture of spices.
Yeah.
I can't pinpoint
it's
curry.
It's impossible.
You know, there's no way.
Just impossible to place. Like, knowing it, you can pick it out, but without knowing it, I don't know how you'd ever like come to that. So why would you ever assume? Oh, someone put curry in this beer.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no.
It's still like there's graham cracker in this beer. It's so crazy to me.
And almost Like if you went to a specialty bakery and got their homemade graham cracker crust, you know, that had whatever spices that they would put in it and made the key lime pie with that.
It went a little heavy on the allspice.
Because the graham cracker crust, I get it. I can taste it. But it tastes like just this really delicious graham cracker crust. That
We've had a lot to say about this beer. Yeah. This is sure something. Burial's great. We've been there
three times?
Three
separate occasions, multiple times, I think.
Yeah, it's just they have so many beers on tap. They have so many ingredients in each beer. The biggest problem is that they have, you know, they might have 30 beers on tap.
And decision paralysis.
Yeah.
12 of them are Imperial Stouts. You know,
that's hard to do because having a bunch of Imperial Stouts is just...
There's ones with Oreos. There's ones with, you know, cookies. There's
sounds like the perfect day, but you also realize that, you know, three and you're gonna be like, oh my god.
Exactly. And I just want to try like a traditional like Russian Imperial Stout made in England, like from them, just to see what it's like. But you'll never get anything close to such a boring ingredient list, you know.
It's interesting because we've always talked about beers that tell a story. This beer is not telling me a story. It's just being very interesting. There's not a journey that I'm going on.
No, it doesn't really progress, really. I mean, other than you getting more accustomed to the tartness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think it's tart to me. It's not tart. It's just really flavorful.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as you like key lime pie.
There is that, like, if you are not, if you are against things that are sour,
yeah,
you won't like
you're
this.
Because like
this
it.
Is, this does have, I think, a pretty strong sourness to it. Not overwhelmingly so. But getting into that Sour Patch Kids area.
Yeah. It's not puckering sour.
Yeah. But like, think about, you know, fresh lemon.
Mm-hmm. Or lime.
Yeah. Feels more lemony to me for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
I love this.
It's good. It's really good.
This is so unique. Everyone should try this. Come on, guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you can somehow get your hands on it.
If you can get to Burial, you should definitely go. Burial and Dissolver
in Asheville,
yes.
Next time we go back, we'll have to go to the Burial Farm.
Can we stay there?
Not unless you ask.
Can you live on the farm?
No, I mean like Harvest Host?
No, they don't have Harvest Host. But
dang it.
All right. So is this the Dirty Couch?
No, we're going to save that one for later. This one's the Purpose Brewing, the Small Trekker 10.
Okay, this was the one that I had trouble finding.
I'm still savoring this.
This is another sour, so this should be interesting. This is Purpose Brewing Small Trekker number 10. In fact, on that number there is, I think it's some 50 out of 200 something bottles. So there are other sizes.
Yep, 50 of 156.
Yeah.
Ooh. It was bottled on June 26, 23. So it's almost 2 years old.
So at 150, so that means there's potentially 155 other bottles of this, assuming that this is the only one that's ever been opened.
Yeah.
We had a great, so Purpose Brewing is Peter Bugart's new place, right?
Okay.
He decided to go solo. We stopped in there. They are a Harvest Host, but they only can do like vans. Like they don't have room for a camper kind of thing. Harvest Host is, for people listening who don't know, it's the app that Chad and I use when we go camping to camp at all the breweries and wineries.
Which is great because we can drink as much as we want and walk across the parking lot to our bed.
Yeah, so we decided to stop in there. Peter wasn't there, but the bartender, who was their blender, she was great. Like, we just hung out and talked for a while, tried everything. And I believe this is one she recommended we should bring home.
Let me ask you a question. What do you do about the next day?
Well,
it depends.
Like,
when you're harvest testing?
When we're harvest testing. Mm-hmm. So if it's on a weekday, on a work day.
I'm more thinking about the state of your head.
Oh, we're fine. We don't drink until we're like hungover and miserable the next
there's
morning.
There's a big gulf between being too drunk to drive and being.
I agree, but especially at our age, I feel like there's not, unless I am like, there was a trick I did in Korea where you eat a couple energy drinks and lots of water.
Okay.
And you were fine.
So I will admit that we have an entire bag full of doses of liquid IV.
Okay, perfect.
And I did mix those up. And I actually did it before I went to bed.
I think it's an absolutely smart thing to do.
A couple of times when I knew I had, you know, like, I probably had too much and I'm not going to feel real great in the morning. I did that. And there were a couple of mornings. One
night,
but
the first night on this trip,
The first night.
We went overboard. That was crazy. The brewery closed at
You're near a brewery. It's kind of hard.
The brewery closed at 9:30. We left the brewery at 1:45. We were hanging out with the bartender and just kept on partying.
Yeah, she was great. She was, I mean, we made it worth her while.
Those were fun nights, the next day.
We tipped her very, very nicely. But it was so much fun to just hang out and talk to her and, you know, get to know her and then just drink beers. And she was she was fun.
I mean, did a lot of drinking in Korea, but never had a painful hangover. Maybe like the tiredness, but never any pain. Because every time we pre-gamed with like an energy drink and lots of water, and then we, you know, in the mid did like water too. So we really worked the system.
Yeah, well, for sure. And anybody who knows me knows that I drink at least as much water.
That's true. You always have your water with you.
If I leave the house without water, I'll have a panic attack. I always have water on me. And when I'm drinking alcohol, especially, I'm drinking at least as much water as I usually. It's double the water to the alcohol intake.
You'll wake up during the night a couple of times, but believe me, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my age, that's going to happen regardless. Anyway, yeah. So,
all right. So, small trekker, we learned this other time there. It's a Flemish phrase for.
We're still on purpose, right?
Nope. Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Small trekker.
But this is the small trekker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We were
it's
before
a
that
Flemish
unbury.
Phrase for. Kind of the when you make a face, like, so if you drink a sour beer and make a face, it's kind of what it's for, what it stands for.
It's so sad.
I think there's a more nuanced, like, in more words you can describe exactly what it means, but the vagueness is like when you're not, maybe not puckering, but like, oh, or, you know, but some kind of introspection face kind of thing.
It's having a tough time comparing to the last one because it's kind of like the last one, but with some similar flavors, but just not nearly as complex. But that's not to say that it's bad. It's just, it's running against something to try something way different and out there.
Yeah. Drink a bunch of water. The aroma for me is probably like apricot or maybe like candy peach rings or something like that. But it's very subtle. Like I really had to dig deep in the glass to get that aroma.
I haven't tasted it yet. I'm just, you know, sniffing it. And if you didn't tell me it was purpose, I would have sworn that you just handed me a beer from Hill Farmstead.
Just from the aroma?
From the aroma. Just because it's a very subtle.
Oh, just because they do a lot of subtle sours and things?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, from experience you've had, you're not wrong. I mean, when you move on to taste this.
I have not tasted this yet.
As long as you get off the ledge of the burial, I think there's some really good stuff in here.
I drank a lot of water.
It's, you know, burial was 11. This one's at a 6 or a 5.5, you know, in volume.
Okay.
But if you can get into there, I mean, it feels like it has that apricot kind of sourness. Like, I have to take another sip. But
all right. It's time for me to sip.
I do. Yeah, I taste the apricot. I think it's a good.
It has a really cool body to it to me. It's like, it's a thinner, I guess it's thicker than I would expect for like a wild ale like this, but it's not thick, but it's a little, just a little more viscous than watery. And that is notable to me.
The last thing I had were three gulps of water. So it's definitely more viscous than water.
I almost got a, like, the sparkliness of, you know, soda. It was almost.
It does have a sharp kind of carbonation to it.
There's a kombucha thing going
carbon,
on.
Thank you. The word was gone. Mm. It was completely gone.
But because of the fruity flavors, it reminds me of kind of like a kombucha too. Like a.
That's a kombucha. Good call. I like that. Hear this in the most positive way possible.
Sure.
I'm going to say something that normally you would
hurt
think.
My feelings.
No, no, no. It's something that an ingredient you would say no, and you would also think off flavors from it. Cabbage.
Cabbage?
Okay, I'll look for it.
Okay.
I was just noticing on that last sip how it's a little more minerally. There's a little bit of like a chalky or a lime kind of thing going
on.
That
may be part of what I'm tasting there, because I think that especially like fresh green cabbage can be.
Yeah, very.
The last sip was coming across a little bit like a limestone dust or something like that.
I have to tell you, your phone matches that cup.
The color is exact. Yeah, it's like on the side.
Yeah. No, turn it.
Real close. Yeah.
Turn it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
We're not high.
No. Well, I'm not. I don't know about you, but I'm not.
So.
I probably should
I have
be,
an but... idea for a new product, Greg, that I'm going to try to. I think I'm going to sell the designs for. But it's this leather, it's a wrap for...
Don't tell me any of your sex shit.
I need to start making leather sex shit is what I need to do. I'm not there yet.
Oh, well, he's got leather straps. Look at these leather straps.
I know, I wasn't going to ask.
I mean, it's only sexy for Shannon.
You're like, why did they leave them in the kitchen?
I know
that there's nobody living in the house anymore but besides the two of them, but come on.
Look, I get it. Look, every room is a new adventure. I understand.
So it's a, you know, since Shannon's always carrying these tumblers around, these giant stainless steel tumblers.
The Brewmates are my favorite, just so everybody knows. They are the best.
The idea is
literally
to make
the best.
A little wrap strap thing for it so you can carry it. And since these things are having a moment, you know, all these Stanleys and shit, I think I'm going to try to like sell these.
Okay. And I will let me model.
Yeah, oh, I don't think Greg cares all that much.
One thing that like I was explaining to another friend of mine, and you should know this by now about me, I have no aesthetic sense at all. I don't like Megan, who was recently on, who was not recently, but she was on the show. Yeah, it works. It looks kind of Indiana Jonesy.
Yes. Very Indiana.
Dun, 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 dun. There's the commercial. We'll get you a big fedora, and you'll be running around the backyard dodging a giant boulder.
I have always wanted a fedora.
Huh? I'll make you one. How hard can they be?
So I went down to their basement. They recently had a remodeling of their basement, and she's like, did you notice all the Dave Matthews posters? And I was like, no, I would never notice that. Like the
Where
stuff
was
that's
this?
On the
I'm
wall.
Sorry,
just a friend's house. And,
okay.
And did you notice this stuff that was on the wall? And I was like, I mean, unless it's pointed out to me, that just it completely escapes my field of vision. It's like it's not there.
So you didn't notice the sign I made specifically for you behind your back?
Absolutely did not. Hmm. Welcome, peeps. And that's definitely made just for me.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was working on putting together a couple different designs, but I ordered like all the popular stainless steel tumblers, the Stanley, the Brewmate, the Kiss kind, the simple whatever, the Yeti, and so I can get the patterns for them.
Hey, man, if you figure out how to be the next MyPillow guy and then find a next political cause to waste all your money on and become destitute again.
Yes.
Oh, this one doesn't have the keychain holder on it.
No.
Some of them have a keychain holder too. You can a clip that you can clip your keychain to.
This is gonna sound weird. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have an adapter for this? I'd like to. I'm almost done on batteries. I didn't realize
what
how,
do you need?
How
uncharged. What is it? A C? Do you need
just
a C?
Just a charger.
A C charger?
Yeah, it's a C. Or I could do it.
I mean, I can plug it in to the wall.
Yeah, anything to plug it into the wall.
or C. Okay.
Either, I'll be right either back. Or, because I got this.
Stay tuned.
So
I'll be right back.
Take this
back.
With you. Bring it back empty.
Oh, shit. Man, forcing the alcohol on me tonight.
That one's only like 5%. You're fine.
Such a, I apologize for the interruption of the show, but running low on bats.
All right, we're going back to Hop Farm. We're going to do Fortune Seeker. This is their West Coast Double IPA.
So this is going to be a kind of smack in the face from everything else that we've been doing.
Oh, though we'll save you some. Just get the charger, woman.
It does mean that I don't get upset when people don't notice my shirt.
I did see your shirt. I couldn't.
All right, I'm going to stand up.
Yeah, I saw the green things like me. I'm not sure. Okay, it's Godzilla with a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the rest of it.
Green things like me. Read out the whole thing.
Like round things like this. Yeah. So Godzilla likes pizza. Mm-hmm. Scott hasn't seen.
Yes.
And there's some Korean words.
These are actually Japanese.
Oh, okay.
I believe these are not even, they're not even words to sort of sound like this. So I believe that it's green and round.
Okay.
Thank you. But yeah, so this is the shirt that I have, and I'd love to try to explain to you what the heck this means.
Okay.
Because it's hilarious, and there's an interesting, like, weird story behind it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, interesting in that this podcast that I listen to, this is by far their number one, like the number one thing they've ever sold for some reason. Everyone loved it.
Okay.
Have you heard of Comedy Bang Bang?
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Scott Aukerman.
Scott Aukerman. That's the Scott from Scott Hasn't Seen.
Oh. Gotcha.
It plays. It's not just about the shirt, because there's also something that I've been doing similar that the show has inspired me to do.
Okay.
So there's more to talk about than just that. But I do want to wait till Shannon comes back so we can also talk about the beer. But I want her to get the understanding of this too. But yes, the show is called Scott Hasn't Seen. It's Godzilla holding a pizza, and it says green things like me like round things like this, and it is inscrutable. If you have never heard the podcast, it's just like that is a meaningless statement. What does that mean? People notice Godzilla, but I do know that if somebody sees this shirt and says, hey, I know that, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Okay. Is it something, I mean, so in Comedy Bang Bang, they have phrases that they just keep doing
The thing is that Comedy Bang Bang is better about it than fans are. Comedy Bang Bang, they do it for like 30, 40 episodes and they stop, and then fans keep doing it.
Okay.
Like They get that it's a bad idea to do things over and over again. Like the It's Been, they don't do that anymore.
No more. It's been a while.
No, they like you will hear. I don't think they've done it in 100+ episodes. That means that it might come up one episode, and they might do it. But otherwise, people say it's been all the time, and nobody says anything. Like they're very careful not to overshoot their load. But so Shannon, have you heard of the podcast Comedy Bang Bang?
No, I have not.
So it's a comedy podcast, and the guy who runs it is this guy named Scott Aukerman. And it's a pretty popular podcast in the, like, L.A. comedy scene. There's a comedian that he invited on called, his name is John Distin, and he used to do these characters that would always bring up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And Scott had never seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So actually, over, like, the pandemic, they did this podcast called We Have to Stop Talking About TMNT on CBB, where Scott had never seen any of the Ninja Turtle stuff, so they went through and watched all of them and brought on guests.
Cartoons, like the movies, both?
Everything.
Okay.
And brought on, you know, different celebrity guests to also partake and talk about this stuff. And then they decided to do a podcast of movies that Scott hadn't seen. Now, in the intro to the podcast, they say, the podcast that explores the movie blind spots of deranged human being Scott Aukerman. And the reason why they say deranged, well, there's a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons why they say deranged is, so Scott is, among other things, he's been known as a Hollywood script writer, a puncher, you know, he punches up scripts. What do they call that? For some reason, I can't think of the name.
I forget.
Yeah. But he has seen a lot of movies, but there are some particularly big ones that he hasn't seen and some stuff that he's avoided. And so there's a combination of really interesting stuff that, that he watches for the first time, talks about, and like bull and shit. And in this case, this was Jack Quaid came on and he brought Godzilla from 1997. Mm-hmm. That movie, which was a piece of shit. And they just, you know, talked about how terrible it was throughout the whole thing. But there was a joke that came up where they said, because they were getting, you know, silly at the end. They're like, well, you know, shouldn't Godzilla, it's New York in that movie. Shouldn't he recognize the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were there? And if not that, shouldn't he at least like give a little like something to them? Like maybe hold up a pizza and green things, like say something like, you know, I like round things. And then like one of them said, green things like me like round things like this. And it was really funny. They said, let's make a shirt. Nothing came of it until they did like their wrap up at the end of the year. They had Jack Quaid call in and give a message and saying, we really should do that shirt. And they just thought it was hilarious. They put the shirt out. And yeah, this is like the number one selling thing they ever did. It's really, it's just for some reason, if you listen to the show, like I said, that explanation was long, but that whole thing like makes sense. And it's also just, they also have shirts like, they had Lauren Lapkus on when they did a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one. And for some reason they had a shirt that's Splinter, that, you know, the rat from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it says the future is female and it has Splinter on it. It's just like, it makes no sense.
See, if that shirt, if Godzilla had like an eye mask on or a belt with like a buckle with a G on it, then I probably have tied it in.
But the thing is, you're really not supposed to get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to find the person who sees this shirt and says, hey, you're a fan of the same kind of stuff I'm a fan of. We have a lot to talk about.
Gotcha. All right. So we got this beer. So getting warm in our glasses. The Fortune Seeker from Hop Farm. It's a West Coast double IPA.
Yes. Well, so it's good they got it warm. I mean, although it's been out for a little bit, but that's fine.
It's not as golden. It's much darker in color than the.
It's more bronzish.
Yeah, yes. It's more bronzish.
It has the aroma, has this kind of citrus fruit thing going on. It's mix of orange and grapefruit, I would say. Seems like everything that so far seems that this is like, you know, like first, second generation West Coast IPA.
Yeah, this is what they were trying to do from if you look at the label, it seems like that was what they were aiming for. Didn't want to do a hazy. They wanted to do something that was West Coasty, but not like Bitter Bomb.
Ooh.
Talus Cryo Chinook Azaka.
Chinook, that's what I'm tasting.
Chinook's usually right. Really piney and bitey.
It is.
I taste the Chinook there.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Up front.
It's the resiny note. Mm-hmm.
I think that the talus, the cryo treatment on it is probably making it a little less bitey, a little less bitter.
Maybe. Can I see the...
It's a little more juicy up front than I would have expected for, you know, a Chinook forward beer. So I think the talus is playing into that.
Definitely has that West Coast. Was that me? It may have been me. I don't know.
No, that was actually me. I hope that wasn't heard on there.
Yeah, I cut it out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we'll go cut it out.
Yeah, he's not cutting this out, though, so.
8.5%. It's got that West Coast, like, this is a big beer IPA stuff, you know. So this is not a hazy at 6. This is, you know, nearly 9. So this is hitting you right away.
I love the label.
Yeah, it's got a gold miner, a cartoon gold miner rushing on a little
Reminds me of the old Tommyknocker labels, though. It seems derivative of that.
Tommyknocker.
It's a shitty brewery that you've never had.
Okay.
Ikaros Art, so it's not AI. At least it's somebody who's
paid for it.
Yeah, it's a great label.
Fortune Seeker.
No, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a really good label.
Yeah, the bitterness isn't too high on this one. It's there. The Chinook's not biting too hard. I think blending it with the other hops is kind of making like a a beer that kind of feels like an older generation, more palatable for a modern generation.
Yeah, but this is like, this is a double IPA. This is a, you know, one of those. And it kind of falls into the same critical area where you would expect a double IPA to fall into in today's world, which is not very high.
It has a malt, a bigger malt backbone than a lot of the, like the California West Coast, I would say.
You know, yeah,
it was more like, you know, even historically, this was more, you know, somewhere like maybe Colorado double IPA or, you know, Midwest or something.
Colorado feels right.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
Well, it's inspired by the California Gold Rush.
The Great Divide, their double, or Avery's Maharaja or something like that.
One of those Denver breweries. If you say a couple of them, I can pick out which one.
No, I'm drawing blank.
Although Avery is kind of close.
Avery is kind of close. I'm trying to think who else makes big double IPAs out there.
I think this is a brewery that's gone too.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there was
Blobbity Bloobity and Flibbity Flobbity.
It's really interesting because when I go to a brewery, if they actually have the hops, a list of them.
Breckenridge. Sorry.
There you go. If they have, you know, descriptions of the beers and list what the hops are, if it has Chinook on it, I won't even look at it.
With Simcoe, very, very hesitant about picking up a Simcoe.
Mm-hmm. This though, I like this. It's not too in your face. It's there. It's definitely there the minute you take your first sip. But it's not so strong that it turns me off, which is pretty high, because I mean that's pretty good, because normally I would say absolutely not, I can't drink this.
I think that it's a beer from the 2000s that has been designed by people from the 2020s. Like they know that how to tame some of those excesses.
They did a good job. They did. The brewer there is Malcolm's not brewing there.
Matt's probably, I don't know who brews there now.
I was just curious because it seems like the last time that we did any of the Hop Farm beers, which I mean, probably last year.
It's usually
at some
when
point.
I bring them, because
I know I'm trying to think of, I mean, I know we've done some in the past and I've not been as impressed. I'm impressed with the Hop Farm beers that we've had tonight.
Like, they've both been, you know, they've been trying to do classic styles with maybe a new twist, or at least with the, you know, modern ingredient twist, and in a way that I think works. I was happy to see a sort of West Coast IPA there that was, you know, just that was not a hazy. I was happy to see something like that, and I wanted to try it. And I figured, even if I don't like it, at least there's that Hop Farm 20%, like that stuff that I like that will keep it okay for me. But I think it's not bad. So that's good for the three that I have in my fridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. All right. Let's move on.
I'm not ready.
The show's dragging. Let's go.
Okay. So one of the things that this show has, that Scott hasn't seen, has got me to see is some movies that I haven't seen.
Okay.
One, I think I talked about how I saw Seven Samurai and I loved it. Like, that was so good. And that's Kurosawa. So 50s, amazing, like, a long movie. So like, you gotta be ready for it. It's like 3+ hours and there's an intermission, but every superhero movie, every team up movie, all builds from this. Like, you can see the blueprint that this was establishing. And there are some weird, like, you know, it's a little slower than a movie today would be, but man, you get to know these characters, and then the second half slaps so much. It's so good. And just like, you're into it. And yeah, no, it's like, it's so good. Like, I would highly recommend that. So I was over at, I think I mentioned I was at Passover. I went down to my parents and was them with him for at least one night, and they were like, we should watch a movie. And so I said, I want to watch something classic that I haven't seen. And I picked The Graduate.
The Graduate. What year?
I believe it's 67.
Okay.
Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, okay.
And pretty famous, like, movie, well considered a pretty classic movie. They were enraptured by it. I appreciated how some of it was, but man, did I not like the movie.
Okay.
My mom, it was really weird. My mom was like, she was rooting for the guy. I was like, the guy that Dustin Hoffman plays is a schmuck and just like an asshole. And in no way was I rooting for this guy. I don't want to, you may see it at some point. So I don't want to, like, you know, get into everything, nor do I know if I can, thank you, if I can explain to you the movie in a way that will not stop the show in its tracks more than it already has. But I was just not impressed by the storytelling. It was very much a movie of its time. My parents loved it, but they kept saying about how if you lived in that time, you'd feel it. So so there's something about that I think plays a role.
Yeah,
and I can accept that, but it did. You know, I had to fight with my dad a little bit on it, but eventually he agreed with me that, yeah, it's not a timeless movie. A timeless movie it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is from Dirty Couch Brewing. This is their Willambic. A spontaneously fermented beer in oak barrels. WA probably stands for Washington, so a Washington Lambic. We visited this brew when we were out in Seattle the last time we were out there. This place was doing a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a bold name, Dirty Couch Brewing.
Maybe it's named after a particular dirty couch. Maybe the one
that we got the story.
Didn't we ask? It was about, yeah. Okay.
Was the it, owner.
It was the one that J.D. Vance.
No, we're talking about Seattle, Washington, so no J.D. Vance couches. No, it's kind of like the, you know, you want like to, you know, you want the brewer to be so comfortable that it's like crashing on your friend's dirty couch, you know, that kind of thing. So
wasn't it after stories of crashing on friends' dirty couches or something? I can't remember the actual story.
Some kind of meme in the friend group or something.
Yeah. You
know, some kind of trope.
There was something. Group.
What it reminds me of is way back in the 80s, Marvel Comics did a thing that they tied in with a bunch of toys, and they researched what to name this like tie-in, and they picked the two words that seemed to be the most popular things that would draw attention to it. Secret Wars. It didn't actually mean anything in the sense of the comic. It didn't. There were no really secret wars, but they named it Secret Wars because that's what the marketing said it would draw in the most attention of boys aged like 8 to 12. And Dirty Couch makes me wonder if there was like a similar kind of, what two words, when you bring them together, would bring the... It's a weird, like...
I probably wouldn't have gone out of my way to go there if it wasn't, like, highly, like... I usually go on, like, Reddit...
Yeah,
like,
I don't think it was a successful campaign. I just was, like...
I go on, like, r/beer for a city, and there's always a post, like, what are the top breweries in this town? And you just kind of troll through that, and that's kind of the go-to. So, this is Willambic. It pours the golden.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
4.9. So, this is a mix of multiple barrel aged wild ales from 8 to 22 months. So this is not like one. This is a lambic blended.
A traditional lambic is a 3 year, a 3 year, a 2 year, and a 1 year blended together. So this is probably using that formulation.
The culture is from harvested from wild strawberries.
Oh.
And the barrels were previously used for red wines from Cadence and Chatter Creek Winery.
Now, see, I was going to say strawberry, but no, I actually am on the nose. I'm picking up cherry.
Really? I smell grapes. I smell grape must, at least.
Grape must is a pretty good call, I think. Cherry. It's kind of a dusty. There's a dusty thing.
There's notes of cherry, but like I think that
there's notes of a lot of things. I pick up the grape musk, too. So
Cherry is one of those things that I think we're really good at detecting. Like a lot of things sort of can
moving into the flavor
orbit around the cherry flavor.
Moving into the flavor, there's totally like tart cherry.
Is there?
Yeah, like a tart Michigan cherry or something like that.
Ooh. That's right. For the second time tonight. Ooh.
Mm.
Mm. You just what's that word?
He made a small trucker.
A small trucker.
Did I? Yes, I guess I did. I didn't like pucker totally, but I was like, ooh.
Yeah, no, that's small trucker right there.
And it's definitely more sour than I expected. And
now see, after your reaction, I was expecting.
I can't get past cherry pie now that you've said cherries. Like the tartness plays in with like cherry pie, like a tart cherry pie filling.
Yes.
I really wish I could agree with you guys. I feel like, again, I feel like cherry is just kind of like an easy point on a map that you can trek around, but I feel like we're not hitting.
Would you small trek around it?
Yes. Yes, I would. Wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I would. And there is, if I'm trying to trek my smalls as much as possible, like digging deep into that to see where I can go. And now I've gotten like apple, because there's a bit of like apple thing.
Oh, green apple.
Green apple, yeah.
Green, okay. Yes.
You're right. Oh, it's funny. That changed like what I'm tasting. Like,
yeah.
It like turned the page on me. Yeah. Green apple.
There's peach.
Anything other than tart fruits, though. I'm having a hard time like finding.
I mean, it's all of a kind, right? It's all of that tart, bright nature. The weird thing is I'm not so much tasting strawberries.
Green apple Jolly Rancher. That's just I've brought up Jolly Ranchers in the shows in the past.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, green apple Jolly Rancher.
So there's no strawberries in the beer. But
it's yeast from strawberries. It may have picked up like and you figure that probably added something to the flavor. I guess it's washed off for a lot of strawberries, but who knows? Yeah. I mean,
it's probably swabbed off and propagated, you know, that kind of thing. It's not like they had a mash.
True, and these are wild strawberries, so, you know, it could be just some crazy weird yeast. Mm-hmm. But I'm not picking up strawberries so much. I would say that there's even kiwi in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So now I'm actually getting...
It's just a big fruit salad.
I'm getting the first thing.
It's a fruit salad.
Starting to get a little more dusty for me, a little minerally. Yeah, so it's more than just straight up fruit. Almost, dare I say, tobacco, like a light, like tobacco thing or something.
I don't know if I would go that far. There's definitely a chalkiness there, though.
I'm not picking up on tobacco. But I'm really stuck on the sour. Like these sour beers tonight, we've gone overboard.
Yeah.
We've gone overboard. Like I already had to take some medication to settle my stomach for the sourness on the beers tonight.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize the barrier would be such a big. I should have known, but I didn't realize the barrier would be so big.
It's a big one.
What are we ending with? I just wanted to see.
Barrel-aged Imperial Stout.
Okay, good. Oh,
thank God it's not a sour.
I was going to say.
Bicarbonate-aged Imperial Stout. Imperial Stout with Gaviscon.
Yeah. Just pour baking soda on top of it.
This one, Dirty Couch Brewing had some of the best beers. And I think it really has to do with the fact that my stomach just can't take any more sour.
Yeah, this is really well blended. This is a very well put together
beer. It is. So I can't fault it. It's not the beer actually has some really complex, beautiful flavors. Mm-hmm. I just can't drink it.
We did a lot of
stuff. Yeah, we got two more Dirty Couches we'll have in future shows. They're all wild beers.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only lambic. This is.
Mm. We definitely have to space out the sour.
Sure. I'm sorry about that. I really wanted, I was excited to try this one, you know, like
space out the sours. That should be a good name.
Space out the sours.
Traditional lambic. And there's a bunch left in this bottle. And since I'm the only one not complaining about being soured out, that's my post show beer.
Damn.
There you go. There's other sours though. So that's fine.
I've got a lot.
We can open something new for the post show. All right, so let me finish this and we'll move on. Oh, Greg, you still got some too. So I don't have to do that fast.
Enjoy. Let me just have this moment.
So
another movie I recently saw.
Yes.
Heat.
Heat.
What's that?
Sounds
that
who
is
the
Robert
that?
De Niro and Al Pacino.
Yeah, yes. Good. I wanted to see that. No good? Really?
Michael Mann in the 90s when you were a teenager.
Michael Mann directed it very well, but man, the female characters were cardboard. The plot dragged the characters along as opposed to the characters dictating the plot. And as I was watching it, I was like, there's a lot of stuff that's really well done. I wish this was written by Quentin Tarantino because it would be so much better.
See, I remember I only watched it once, but it was a teenager back in the 90s. And I remember
there's cool shit in there. And also the men are very 12-year-old boy. This is what I care about. And that's all. And nothing else matters. And but I also happen to screw lots of chicks on the side kind of stuff. Very, very like almost regressive in terms of like how poorly it is aimed at a modern culture and how shoddy it was constructed as a script.
Threw it together.
Well, I mean, and it, like the action was really cool, but just the structure wasn't there. None of the stuff that keeps a movie, like that keeps you interested in what's happening next and keeps you, you know, hoping that this person that this thing will happen or that thing will happen or that something will resolve this tension that's there. Very, very poorly structured. So
two of my favorite actors.
Oh, I agree. And like here's the thing. De Niro was fantastic in it. Al Pacino was on coke.
Really?
And it shows. He is overdoing it to an extent that is too broad for some comedies.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, not a good performance from Al Pacino.
That's a shame.
But kind of iconic because of how crazy it
is. I mean, how old is he now?
Oh, God, I don't know, 98.
Alexa, how old is Al Pacino?
Al Pacino is 84 years old.
Oh, I wasn't that far off, God damn.
84 years old. He's probably not on coke. He's probably just kind of whacked out.
Well, when he made the movie, he was on coke. All right, so he actually says in interviews that he played it like he was on coke.
Oh, okay.
The best way to play it is to be on coke.
Yes.
All right, so this last beer of the evening is Westbound and Down.
Is this number six?
Barrel-aged double absinthe.
That is a different aroma.
I'm ready for this.
Beer we picked up. This was when we drove up into the mountains when we landed in Colorado.
I have been looking at this beer in the fridge for months now, wanting to drink it.
Now we're drinking it.
15.9%. Yeah. So it is a...
comes in a little 8-ounce
can. It comes
in
like one of those small Coke cans, little 8-ounce cans.
Yes, the mini ones.
Yeah.
So just so you know, we do have the extra bedroom and the extra bed, so...
I mean...
You know. I know.
I'm very, very good about not going overboard because we have so
just
much
experience.
Just
want you to know you're welcome.
Yes,
until we break out the karaoke.
Until we break out. Yes. We should put the karaoke on the show one
time.
Well,
we can talk about some things for karaoke-wise, but let's talk about this beer. Age 16 month in freshly dumped bourbon barrels.
I love.
Ooh, boy.
This. The nose on this, it's just.
You get lost in it. It's so woody.
It is.
With so a little bit of,
I love
so what they actually package is a blend.
Barrels.
They had 15 and 28 month versions of this beer, and they blended it to get this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's.
I'm curious how much that cost. How much did the 8-ounce cost?
Not cheap.
I didn't think so. But no,
I don't remember. But
yeah,
we got a 4-pack
for a long time.
Oh, we got a 4-pack. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I want to say the 4-pack was
30s.
Oh.
35 or something.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Especially what I'm smelling.
But no, so, I mean, you know, you can really dial in what you're packaging for the customer when you have these two imperial stouts, one that's aged and might be oxidized, one that has more, you know, and you're kind of like finding the ratio where it's magically delicious. And
this is going to be magically delicious.
You know, we mentioned that there are some beers on here that are probably really good stuff, but, you know, don't necessarily shine under the microscope.
Yeah.
And then there are beers that are designed for the microscope. This is designed to be put on a slide.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You can, the same way with the Burial. Designed to be analyzed, designed mm-hmm. to be like,
yep.
to have this kind of investigation.
Yeah, they had this on draft at the pub and it was bonkers good. So
now here's where I'm smelling tobacco.
Okay. So I'm smelling, I mean, first off, booziness. And for Imperial Stouts, I need to smell the booziness.
Yep.
At 16%.
I know.
You but better it, smell the booziness.
But if an Imperial Stout doesn't deliver, it could be 9.5%. I want it to deliver what I think of English brewed Russian Imperial Stout. I want it to deliver this kind of thin kind of feel and a boozy nose.
This is meant to travel and not spoil.
Yeah. So that's first off. The, you know, being barrel aged, it's pulling along some vanilla notes.
Oh, it's got the vanilla notes.
I'm not
it's got the roasted
smelling
marshmallow.
Distinctly oaky, but
I'm getting just a lot. I just, yeah. I'm smelling, I'm getting a lot of alcohol just in the aroma.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's so much volatilization.
Not in a bad way.
But
some people will hear the word alcohol and
not that I was really like doing a lot of bigs. It was not that was like, that's a little too much. It started to like no, it wouldn't put you off. It doesn't smell alcoholic, but if you are bringing in like huge,
yeah, like when you're smelling a bourbon, and
yeah,
you don't do it right and you burn your nose.
Okay, so I'm getting the tobacco notes now on the nose. I have not tasted it yet.
Me
I'm
neither.
Letting it just sit and
see. I'm still getting more marshmallow than tobacco.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well,
I'm getting a charcoal-y kind of thing, or a charcoal grill kind of thing.
Well, that would be the charred barrel.
Yeah.
All right, guys, just shut up and drink this.
No.
I was trying to let it.
Shut up and drink this.
I'm talking, damn it.
Shut up and drink. That should be a song. Shut up and drink. It's probably on.
Well, there's a song from Record Rock, Shut Up and Drive. Shut up and drink.
You'll thank me. Shannon just made a small checker.
No, I didn't.
You
that wasn't that.
It's not a pucker face. It's a face of like what?
It's a face of love and desire. It's desire.
There's
satisfaction.
Coffee chaka toffee.
Coffee chaka toffee.
Toffee's in there for sure.
Yes, and the chocolate and the coffee, and so
it's
much booziness. But very smooth.
Almost like
very smooth.
Almost like the intensity.
Doesn't
of,
taste hot.
No.
The
I taste
the
a lot of marshmallow
kind of like
on the
intensity
end.
Of like a cold brew, like a
and it's got that kind of creaminess, that like espresso creaminess thing.
Yep. Oh my god.
The viscosity is, you know, nice on this one. Yeah, there's a lot to like about this.
I think this is a wild beer. Shannon just says, oh my gosh, I think that counts as
and
a
oh my
wild
gosh beer.
It's a wild beer.
Oh my gosh beer is a better term than wild beer. Like OMG beer.
OMGBs. This OMG, is an OMGB,
OMGB
man.
OMGB.
Now this is super, super good. Westbound and Down, Barrel Age Double Absence.
I can't gotta remember, get it.
What's the name of the town up in the mountains there? It's
what are you talking about?
Idaho Springs, Colorado.
Idaho Springs, that's it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
like it's like a touristy gold rush, like, you know, period kind of town, but they got this brewery there.
Keep in mind that the number I'm going to ask you about means nothing.
Okay.
I mean, they can.
And I will tell you that there are 407 ratings. What do you think the rating on Untappd of this beer is?
Probably a 3.5.
Interesting.
No. Just because people are stupid.
No.
And I
not
hate
they're not stupid in this direction. They're stupid on Kolsch's and Pilsner's and brown
ales. I don't like Untappd.
They're not stupid on barrel-aged double
most
imperial
people
stouts.
That are on Untappd do not, they're not, I don't even get on
4.75.
Okay. So the actual answer is 4.4. See, I would rate this at least 4.8.
Yeah.
At least.
Yes.
Well, you can only rank whole things, right?
You can?
I don't know.
Well,
fuck
like,
Untapped. It's stupid.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, because here's the thing, like, Rotten Tomatoes. If you look at the percent of a number, that doesn't mean the movie is good or bad. What that means is that a majority of people, if it's 100% means that everyone who watched it thought you'd enjoy it. 0% means everyone thought, oh, you'd hate it. It doesn't mean this is the best movie ever.
See, I thought 2 out of 3 people would give this a 5. And 1 out of 3 people would give it a 4. That's why
I think what you're not accounting for is the snobbiness.
No, I think it's the...
This is such a big, bold beer that it should play right into the Untappers.
If as a, like, as a, how do I put this? As a critic, you know, there are things that I could say about it that could get me in there. But if I was just doing a 1 through 5, this would easily be a 5. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's not a contest. This is up and there in the fives. If you think that fives are going to be 20, if you think fives are going to be 20% of the beers you have, or, you know, roughly.
Well, for me, 5 has a, it's a parabola, right? You know, like, or a hyperbole or whatever, you know. It's not,
it's a
going
limit.
From 3 to 4 is not the same distance as going from 4 to 5. You know, if there's any noticeable flaw in a beer, 4, you know, but this one brings it. Now, I could imagine if you had this one on tap and it was way cold, it might not track the way you want it to track.
Not at all.
The other thing you might think is 15.9 is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they could do better with less. Like, if you're really trying to, that's if you're really
but
trying to find criticism.
Should they?
They'd still, I think, you know, 4.7, and that should round to a 5.
Should they rate it on Untappd based on that?
No one should rate it.
No,
on
I mean, no. Like, I think that.
Yes, I agree.
I just think it's interesting that it only rates a 4.4, because I would have expected it to rank around a 4.7, 4.8.
Yeah. See, I don't. Because I feel like most of the people that are on Untappd and actually rating beers are not, I would consider us beer snobs. I mean, we're.
I don't. I no. I
we
I was
we have very high expectations.
I was a snob at one point, but now I think I'm completely over that. I drink what you want to drink.
Well, okay. How can I say this different? How can I explain
this
better?
I'll be happy to.
I feel like the people that are on Untappd, and I might be wrong. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But generally, people that are on Untappd are people that are inexperienced in varieties of beer.
Well, the vast majority of people do not have the experience the three of us at the table have.
Exactly. So that's why I would say, that's why I said this would probably rank in the threes, because people wouldn't like, they want a beer flavored beer. They don't want.
I don't know. Interesting.
Untappers want IPAs and hops. And,
well, interesting.
And they want big Imperial Stouts too.
Yeah. But
I feel that this should play right into the Untappers.
Here's the thing.
You do?
This is, of the beers we've had tonight, this is the top rated beer.
Well, I mean, it should be,
but only at 4.4.
Only at a 4, which is a shame.
Too many people reserve the 5, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I mean.
But like I said, when I started this number should mean nothing.
If you could only pick 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Yeah.
I mean, I got three. No, I got 4 5s tonight. I don't think I'd give the small tricker a 4.
I have 3 5s tonight.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
So. I got my rankings down. You guys ready to move on to rankings?
Sure.
And I think the rest would be 4s.
I mean, these are so great that it's going to be really hard to rank them.
There's a 3 in, are three or four on maybe the double IPA, but that's sort of a thing that, you know.
Yeah.
I think it does its job.
Yeah, for sure.
And...
All right, so my 6th place beer is going to be the Hop Farm Fortune Seeker. It was interesting how it was kind of that old school kind of, I'm going to call it Colorado IPA, with the kind of bigger malt body. And the hops weren't as aggressive and bitter because of the Talus, I guess, the Cryo Talus. It's a good drinker, just didn't compete with the rest of the beers tonight. Hop Farm Kolsch comes in at fifth place. Good beer drinking beer.
Good beer drinking beer.
I mean, it's kind of noteworthy that it beat out its sibling, you know, because, you know, IPAs and craft beer and me, you know. But no, the Kolsch was really good. And now the next four beers were fantastic. They had different volume levels, so it was kind of hard to track on all of them, but they were all fantastic. I'm going to put the Small Trekker in fourth place. A bit of a hard follow on the Burial. I think if I would have known in advance, I would have drank them in the opposite order and would have dug it, you know, be able to hear it better. But man, the kind of tartness, the peach thing going on, super good. The Burial is bonkers with the carrots and the coconut and the curry powder and, you know, seemingly key lime pie, but no key lime pie. Super good. I'm going to put the Dirty Couch Willambic in front of it. It's a more beautiful beer to me. You know, it's that traditional formulation of a 3 year, 2 year, and 1 year. Had really good blending going on. It didn't have the crutches. Even though the Burial was masterfully blended, it had all those ingredients to give it new things. And the Dirty Couch was just straight up, spontaneously fermented, 3 year blend, goose. Fuck yeah. And then first place, got to put this Westbound in town. This thing is everything that I want in an Imperial Stout. Every single fucking thing. It's a five. It is the best beer I've had in a long time. It just suits my palate. I believe I posted on Discord when I was tasting this beer saying, I've found it. I've found my Imperial Stout. Yeah. And I'm saying it again. This is a 2X. I've found it. Westbound and Down, barrel aged double absence.
All right. Did you get a picture?
Yep.
All right. Greg?
I could go or you could go.
Go ahead.
All right. In sixth place, I also agree the Fortune Seeker is sort of a hard luck loser here because, I mean, it didn't do anything bad. It just was, you know, up against a different lineup than you would expect. Like, it was up against some stars, some real stars. And so this was the, what is it they call them when the in boxing, like the card, the
undercard,
the undercard, you know, the undercard was like, you know, fine. Oh, great drinkers. The kind of things that I think both of those would be, either of those would be like, cause you're not going to drink the other four any night. The other four are very much special occasions.
Yes.
Pull them out. Whereas these two would be great to, you know, have in your fridge one way or another. Right. I think the Fortune Seeker or the Kolsch. I just think that the Kolsch was probably a bit to my liking more than the Fortune Seeker in terms of, like, I love the simpleness of it. So I'm going to go with that. So then we get out of the undercard and into sort of the main track.
Main event.
Main event. And so it's weird. I'm not sure between the Small Trekker and the Willambic which one there gets the prize. They're both really good. They both have things to talk about.
There's more left. You can dive back in.
And I have to, but I, like, have this little bit of the other one. So
I'm savoring it for sure.
Well, let me try a little bit of the Small Trekker. Actually, so I'll try the Small Trekker first, and then I'll try the Dirty Couch, the Secret Wars. Okay, so this Small Trekker, sour, minerally. This might be the cabbage one that I was thinking about.
Yeah,
it is. And yeah, okay. And this is the
Willambic.
The Willambic. It's nice that we had some extra to do this so I could judge.
Except for the Westbound and Down.
Oh, I don't think we need to reevaluate. I think we know where that one's landing.
Much more sour. Not as minerally. Hard luck loser here, Small Trekker. I think that in the case of you're pulling something out and you want to get something special, the dirty couch is going to win over the Small Trekker. Both pretty awesome, but yeah. And then here's where things get really interesting.
Oh, the game's not over yet.
Game's not over yet, because I agree with you that the barrel-aged double absinthe is one of the best beers I've had in years.
That beer fucks.
Fantastic. And yet flight matters.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Upset. And Frasier goes down.
Oh, no.
Frasier goes down.
I ain't never had anything like that other one. And
Garden of Earthly Delights.
The Garden of Earthly Delights had that unique curveball that made me just think about new things, right? I mean, the barrel-aged double absinthe was perfected. was the Russian Imperial Stout.
They put psilocybin in here.
The barrel-aged double absinthe was Russian Imperial Stout perfected, and that on any number of shows would be an absolute winner, bar hands down. And yet, I keep feeling this pull towards that.
That's awesome.
It is. It's
like
fantastic.
I feel that just like, no, that was new. That was an experience that I have not had before. That was a twist. Ooh,
remember the first law of craft beer radio, right?
Baby, there is more.
I know the second law was
first law. Isn't the first law the better the beers, the better the show?
Okay, yes, that is true. Yes.
All right.
The second law is to do with pumpkin beers. That was like, don't get me, like, the double absinthe is...
We get it.
Yeah.
Get it? All right, Burial. Make love to Burial for me. In your words. Use your words to make love to my Burial.
When you die,
well,
it was
I'm
so
wearing
awesome.
The shirt.
And... You have to make love to your Burial.
This one, right here.
The
Garden of Earthly Delights. My garden. Make love to my garden. Say something for Greg. He loves that so much.
I know. I do, too. But we have to take a trip together and go to Burial.
You're so pretty. Will you please sleep with me, please?
I didn't mean it. I meant it. Like, just describe what you loved about that beer so much is what I meant.
Yeah, but I took it a different direction. I'm so lonely, please. It would mean so much.
We have to find a song.
Just trying to, I'm trying to things that have worked. There's a lot of, it's so much. There's like a lot more stuff.
It's weird out there, man.
There is a lot more.
It's getting weird out there.
So there's like some sediment.
Yes.
And sentiment.
Yes, but the sediment is physical.
And the sentiment is metaphysical.
Jesus Christ. That is so freaking good.
Isn't that out there?
Oh, Shannon, are you changing your rankings?
I might be, because that is
Jesus.
So
all right. And do you have anything more to say,
amazing.
Greg?
So it is, it has a lot of the sourness that the other beers had, but it elevates it in such an interesting way by giving it this extra stuff that really highlights all of the, but both the sourness and then all of the sort of extra flavors that are around it. That like coconut is now coming through more, I think. The vanilla again is like this backbone that's there, and that curry is just making everything pop. It's so good, guys.
Yeah. It really, really is.
All right. Awesome. I'm glad that you enjoyed these beers. Shannon, how about you? Any of them any good?
Oh no. They suck. They suck.
2.5 on untapped.
Am I on the
you're
right
on the
one here? all right. So in sixth place, again, I think both of you ranked, unfortunately, Fortune Seeker, just because it's up against so many amazing beers. That's number six. Number five, we've got Purpose. Where's Purpose?
Purpose is
Small Trekker. Interesting. Yeah. I'm putting that one at number five. And I think, you know, it's really hard for me to do this because I think I was really over the sours at that point, honestly. So I should probably try it again. And I really might change my mind, but I just put the Burial in my glass.
You have the same problem you had the first time around.
I know. I am. So note to the to the three of us that we should not have three sours in one episode because I cannot take that much sour. My stomach does not like it. And in number four, I'm going to go with the Hop Farm Kolsch. Is that the one that's there? Yep. Yep. I think that was a general consensus there. Again, it was really, I was impressed. I was very impressed that it had Chinook in it. And I actually really liked it.
The Chinook was this one. Chinook was the Fortune Seeker.
Yeah, the Kolsch is.
The Kolsch was.
I'm sorry. I was looking at my nose wrong. Yeah. Yeah. No. I liked the maltiness. And
yeah, the, like, cracker,
it was,
yeah.
It was very easy. It was very easy. Yeah. It was the Kolsch. It was very easy to drink. I could drink that all summer long. Mm-hmm. That would be my Mary, actually, because it's
spoilers.
I know.
But, hey.
All right.
For you guys who are holding out hope in for that 5 minutes.
You already know who I'm going to marry. Sorry. All right. Number three. I am going to have to go with the Dirty Couch. I love it, though. I really do. Very complex. We couldn't figure out, like, cherry, green apple, all these different flavors of berries. It was just like a mixed fruit salad that was just really, really delicious. Loved it. Up against some really tough competition. And now we're at the last two.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
This is a fight. I don't know what win. I don't know who wins. I think this is
God.
This is a.
So, I love stouts.
Mm-hmm.
I love IPAs, but I love stouts more. I drink IPAs more than I drink stouts. But stouts are like when I really just
oh God,
yeah.
This is what I want. This is my.
So, I had that ranked at number one. The Westbound and Down, like Jeff, it was ranked at number one. It was.
Damn, Frazier goes down again.
It what? But that Burial. I'm wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
For a reason. We have gone to Burial multiple times for a reason. They make amazing beers. I've never had anything that's even remotely basic, like that just was like, it's all right. I've never been in there and not been utterly impressed with their beers.
Good point.
And this one, the fact I can't get over it. So, okay. Number two, I've got to say that it's the Westbound and Down. I'm changing it at the last minute.
Yeah.
And number one is definitely the Burial Garden of, I can't read my writing because of Earthly Delight.
Here's my analogy.
It's so complex.
Yeah.
It's got so many flavors and they blend so well together. That key lime pie, I'm not even a key lime pie person. If you put a menu of desserts in front of me, whether it's 5 or 15, I am not going to choose key lime pie. That is not going to be the one that I choose. But that tastes like a Hail Mary key lime pie with the best flavors
just
that
like
you could.
You
like,
did that you, and it worked.
Yes.
And holy shit.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Or and Shannon, if you go to the zoo, what's your favorite thing to see?
Elephants.
Elephants.
Cats.
Big cats, like big cats,
cats, yeah.
Like, you know, tiger, lion.
Snow leopard, tiger, lion.
What about, let's say, what is your, like, I don't know, fourth or fifth most interesting thing?
Reptiles.
Monkeys, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Monkeys. I mean, they're interesting, but they're not.
Last time I was at the zoo, I saw a baboon eating its
shit. I don't like going to zoos.
Sure. No, but I'm trying to make an analogy here. Yeah.
So, like, my least favorite thing to see.
I wouldn't say least favorite. Just, okay. It's up there,
right.
But it's like.
All right.
What are you indifferent about? You're on the spot. Name it right now.
No, I'm just trying to make an analogy.
Okay.
We'll see if it works.
Favorite thing to see? Elephants.
Elephants.
I'm impressed by them. Mm-hmm. And giraffes would be second.
I was thinking giraffe was actually the first thing that came to my mind when I was taking this note.
I mean, they're right there together. They're both exotic and they're fascinating. Mm-hmm. Then we go to the cats.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, I guess monkeys. Monkeys or even the... I'm not impressed by gators and stuff because I grew up with them. Yeah. So I'm just like, whatever.
I wanted to get your gauges here because here's my analogy. Imagine you got to go to the zoo and got to see the most perfect giraffe and or lion that has ever been seen. Like something special about it. Just like the perfect specimen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. Like you're looking at this thing, it's doing all the actions you would want it to do. It's behaving like you wanted to see. You're like, man, this is a great day to zoo. And then you hear, today only, we also have a monkey with two butts. And you're like, damn, I've never seen a monkey with two butts. And you go to see it and it's fascinating. And it blows your goddamn mind so much that you almost forget. I mean, you remember there was that amazing giraffe / lion. Like, that was a cool thing, but I just saw a monkey with two butts. What?
I'm sorry. My brain's going into a different.
I'm having a hard time imagining,
what is this monkey doing?
I'm having a hard time being astounded by a monkey with two assholes.
Two whole human butts.
Human butts.
Yeah.
Is one on the front and one on the back? Because that's the kind of level of astounding I need.
If that's what you need, then yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Like
a front butt and a back butt.
What? How'd that happen? Like what? And what, that's only gonna be here today?
All right, man. This is getting wild.
Hey, maybe my analogy went off the rails. Maybe it's perfect. I don't know. It's somewhere in between.
All right.
All I know is that burial is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some marry, fuck, kill.
Oh, shit.
You know what? I'm going to fly as close to the sun as I can get. I'm going to marry that westbound and down.
You're going to try.
You're not going to.
I'm going to marry that westbound and down.
You're going to get tired of it.
Oh, God. It's 16. That thing is going to run you dry.
Oh, yeah. You know what? YOLO, you only live once, and I'm going to marry that.
You're
going to
be drinking so much liquid IV.
Oh my God. You will be like, I'm going to
fuck
move.
The burial.
I can't. And I'm going to. Let's party.
Kill that hop farm down there, that IPA one.
Yeah.
I'm marrying the fucking westbound and down, though.
Wow.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I'm fucking the westbound and down because holy shit. Like,
I don't care if she's a gold digger. It's
fucking
worth it.
Aphrodite, like opening it up saying, yes, I am the most amazing, the most beautiful. Yes, come. It's like, yeah, okay, you win. So, yeah, that's absolutely a fuck. Marry. See, the question is the burial. I don't know if I'd marry the burial.
You can't marry the burial.
No, you can't.
You can have a threesome. Why? With the westbound and down in the burial.
You married the burial? No. Oh, no. You married the westbound.
No
and
one
down.
Can marry the burial. It's
why?
Unmarriable.
I just don't think you can.
It's too great. That's the fuck.
Well,
that's
I think
that
it's like, it's going to be the culture thing. It just, it won't work. Like the culture between you and this person and their family, it's just, it's not going to jive.
I mean, you could totally do a DP with the westbound and down and the burial, though.
I mean, if they were into it,
if they were
totally
a monkey with two butts, it would be a lot easier.
I mean, two butts, true. Yeah. God, this is so weird because I feel like the marry here is the one you're going to drink.
You don't marry the westbound and down. You got to marry the coach.
You don't. And I think
you can't. Persuade him.
I'm just logic. No, logic dictates.
You're right. You're
logic
right.
Dictates. You got to marry right. The Kolsch.
I mean, that is
gotta,
the thing.
You
got to
marry the Kolsch.
The Kolsch.
Marry the westbound and down.
The Kolsch is going to be with you always, and will support you always, and will always love you, and you will always love it. And it won't be the amazing emotional highs that you could get in some other things, but you won't also suffer the lows, and you will always have it.
Support. They're stable.
They're good.
Reliable.
It's good life.
But see, I could marry a Kolsch. I just can't marry that Kolsch.
Of the stuff
you
we have.
No, sure, sure.
Of the stuff we have. That's your choices. This is it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, there are other cultures that rather are marryable. Marry. Look, there are other cultures in other countries that would be great to marry, but you know, you can't get, you know, they're taken or, you know, whatever. But this is a Kolsch that will do you well and will do you right.
Okay. Kill?
Oh, the fortune seeker, you're a very pretty girl. You have 80s hair.
That's good.
All right, babe.
All right. Well, I already said I was going to marry the Kolsch.
Okay.
It's reliable. It's there's no drama. It's very stable, and I just
you do love it.
I love it, and I like the stability of that. So I'm going with the Kolsch. I'm marrying the Kolsch. I'm going to
just have a gangbang with the rest of them.
Can I have a fuck?
I'm not going to let you.
With burial.
Because the last episode we
Westbound
one
down.
Of the first one of the few episodes where we did not do a count. The last episode, no, I'm gonna overrule you.
No DPs.
All right. Well,
because the last episode we overruled the count. I Mary Fuck Kill has now become more
binding.
Yeah, more binding. So okay. Yeah.
Fine. But I can't decide. I know what I'm gonna kill. I'm gonna kill the same thing that you guys mm-hmm. killed, and that's the hop farm. I just can't decide.
You can't decide which one to
fight. So I'm gonna be the bride that ran away from the barrel aged, the westbound and down, and from.
But you married the Kolsch.
I know. Oh, right. I can't be the bride that ran away.
Mm-hmm.
See, it was that 15% of the westbound and down. It's hitting me.
Closer to 16.
It's really 16. 16. I mean, 15.9 okay. is.
Yeah, 16%.
Significant figures.
shit. I can't decide which one I want to fuck. Can I just. Like
you're at a whorehouse. This is your choice.
Every other week, I just alternate between.
If you got to flip a coin, you flip a coin. No one will hold it against you if you have to flip a coin.
Earthly delights.
I've done it before.
I mean, it's the garden of earthly delights.
And go with it.
That right there, just the name alone, that's the decision maker. I'm marrying.
Marketing man.
I'm gonna fuck the.
She'll do you well.
I'm gonna.
You're not gonna be disappointed.
She knows her way around.
Yeah, she does.
And she'll do some shit you ain't ever heard of. I'm like, whoa.
Wait, she? No, not she. From he. He.
Well, whatever.
But you know,
she, whatever.
Garden.
All right.
Then whatever.
Do I have to change it to Westbound Down?
No. It's gonna do shit that you've never heard of, and that you didn't think would possibly feel good, and yet, whoa, that feels amazing.
All right.
All right. Wow. That's
our probably most sexual show.
I started trying.
I mean, we do have a beer called Westbound and Down. Like
there were things leading into it.
And we were talking about leather.
You guys, man.
Guys. What about us guys?
It was, bullshit.
It was 65 minutes ago.
Bullshit.
I started trying to speed this show up.
I thought you were going to say something about.
I don't know.
Why? What,
maybe we could get more than three listeners.
We didn't talk about the 50th.
We got a post show.
If three people are going to listen to it, it's not even going to show up because it's not connected. If only people are going to listen to the show, that's fine. I don't give a shit. I love that you guys are listening to it. If it's only going to appeal to three people, then it only appeals to three people. That's fine by me.
But we're going to wait until the post show to say anything about the 50, or I mean the 25 or 20.
What?
20. What?
We're going to have another show before June 3rd.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome.
All right, let's try this again.
This is really going well.
No.
Next time I will be sure to. Hey, there we go.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this very expeditious episode of Craft Beer Radio. It was a lot of fun for us here.
I would say circuitous.
Circuitous.
Way.
Or the other.
Don't karaoke.
You're going to get her in the mood.
She can't withstand my dulcet tones. All right, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Hey, see you next time. What you said you wanted to do the show before?
The day.
The day.
The day.
The day.
20th anniversary.
Of?
June 3rd, our 20th anniversary.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You've been doing this fucking shit for 20 years almost.
Not me, but you guys.
I mean, join us.
I am. I'm here.
See ya.
See ya.